Indictment is the word the Athenians use.
What? Someone must have indicted you. I can't believe that you have indicted someone else.
Certainly not.
Then someone has indicted you.
Yes.
Who is he?
I hardly know him, Euthyphro. He's not well known. He's a young man named Miletus from Pithys. Perhaps you have seen him. He has long, straight hair, a nose like a beak, and a downy beard.
No, I don't remember him, Socrates. What's the charge?
The charge? It's a serious one, showing a lot of character in the young man. He shouldn't be despised for that. He says he knows how young people are corrupted and who corrupts them. I suppose he must be a wise man who, seeing that I am anything but wise, has found me out and is going to accuse me of corrupting his young friends. Our mother, the state, is to be the judge of this. He's the only one of our politicians who starts the right way, by cultivating the young. He's like a good farmer, taking care of the sprouts, weeding out those of us who destroy them. That's his first step. Later he will attend to the older branches. If he continues as he has begun, he will be a great public benefactor.
I hope so, Socrates, but I fear that it will be the other way around. In my opinion, he's aiming a blow at a sacred part of the state by attacking you. But how does he say that you corrupt the young?
He makes a strange accusation, one that is surprising on first hearing. He says that I am a poet, a creator of gods. I make new gods and deny the existence of old ones. That's the ground of his indictment.
I understand, Socrates. He's attacking you because of the divine sign which you say occasionally comes to you. He thinks that you're a heretic, and he's bringing you into court for that reason. He knows that such charges are readily accepted, because the world is always resentful of anything new in religion. For example, when I speak in the assembly about divine matters and predict the future, they laugh at me as if I'm insane. Yet every word I say is true. They're simply jealous of us, so we should be brave and not mind them.
Euthyphro, my friend, their laughter is of little importance. You may be considered wise, but the Athenians pay little attention until you make other people wise. Then, for some reason, perhaps as you suggest, from jealousy, they become angry.
I have no desire to test them.
You make yourself scarce and hesitate to share your wisdom, but I have a generous habit of pouring myself out to everyone. I'd even pay for a listener, and the Athenians know that. Therefore, as I was saying, if the Athenians would simply laugh at me, as you say they laugh at you, the time might pass pleasantly enough in the court. But if they take me seriously, then only you prophets can predict the outcome.
I predict that nothing will come of it, Socrates, and that you will win the case. And I think I'll win mine.
What is your case? Are you prosecuting or defending Euthyphro?
I'm prosecuting.
Whom?
You'll think I'm crazy when I tell you.
Why, is he that slippery?
No, not slippery at all, at his age.
Who is he?
My father.
Your father? You must be joking.
I'm not joking.
What's the charge?
Murder, Socrates.
Euthyphro. Most people know so little about what is right and true. It takes an extraordinary person to be able to do it, someone who is really wise.
Yes, Socrates, really wise.
I suppose the person your father murdered was a member of your family. You'd never dream of prosecuting for the sake of a stranger.
I'm amused, Socrates, that you distinguish between someone who is and someone who is not a relative. If you knowingly associate with a murderer, you pollute your own soul. You ought to purify yourself because the pollution is the same in either case. The real question is whether the dead person was justly killed. If so, then your duty is to let the matter alone. But if the killing was unjust, then you should bring charges, even if the murderer lives under the same roof and eats at the same table with you. The dead man was one of my workers who helped us in the fields at Naxos. One day he got drunk, fought with one of our domestic servants, and killed him. My father bound him hand and foot and threw him into a ditch. Then he sent someone to Athens to ask an expert in religious law what he should do. In the meantime, he forgot about him, being under the impression that he was a murderer, and that even if he were to die, it wouldn't matter. And that's what happened. He died from cold, hunger, and the bonds before the messenger returned.